more till another year. Well, what is this that I can't see with ice cold hands taking hold of me? Well, I am death, none can excel. I'll open the door to heaven or hell. Oh, death, someone would pray, could you wait to call me another day? The children prayed, the preacher preached, time and mercy is out of your reach. I'll fix your feet till you can't walk. I'll lock your jaw till you can't talk. I'll close your eyes so you can't see this very hour come and go with me. Death, I come to take the soul, leave the body and leave it cold. To drop the flesh off of the frame, the earth and worm both have a claim. Oh, death. Oh, death. Won't you spare me over till another year? My mother came to my bed, placed a cold towel upon my head. My head is warm, my feet are cold, death is a-moving upon my soul. Oh, death, how you treating me? You're closed my eyes so I can't see. Well, you're hurting my body, you make me cold, you run my life right out of my soul. Oh, death, please consider my age, please don't take me at this stage. My wealth is all at your command, if you will move your icy hands. Oh, the young, the rich or poor, all alike me, you know. No wealth, no land, no silver, no gold, nothing satisfies me but your soul. Oh, death, oh, death, won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year? Won't you spare me over till another year?
Hey everybody, thanks for joining me. This is Pagan Spirituality Today, episode number 16. I am your host, Kveldrida. Today is November the 1st, 2009. This is the Mexican Day of the Dead, and the day after Samhain, of course. We'll go into all of that in just a second, but let me get a few things out of the way. You can hear me at Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, Proud Pagan Podcasters, iTunes, and the show is hosted at Podbean. There is a Facebook account for the show, Pagan Spirituality Today. I have recently updated and expanded my Facebook page. There's a photo album with pictures of our house and things around the house. There's also a picture of myself and of Oni, if any of you are interested in that. Oni had me add some app called Virtual Bookshelf, I believe, where you review books that you've read, you list things you've read or you want to read. I've started to add some things there, so go ahead and check that out if you're on Facebook. My email, in case you want to contact me, is pagan.spirituality.today@comcast.net. Just realized I hadn't been giving that out the last couple of episodes. I hope you guys will shoot me an email. Before I go into today's main topic, which will be spirits, which was a listener-requested topic, by the way, I'm going to talk a little bit about Samhain and a little bit about the Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, as it is celebrated in Latin America and Mexico. I did just a tiny bit of research on this today, and I came up with something that I did not know. Originally, this is an Aztec celebration that took place on or about what we call August. Their calendar was completely different in its structure. But about the beginning of August, an entire month of celebration and festival took place, and it was dedicated to an Aztec goddess called Mictlantecuhtli. Try to say that name 100 times. Known as the Lady of the Dead. In today's modern cultures in South America, there are in fact 2 days of the dead. November the 1st, today, Dia de los Inocentes. That is the Day of the Innocents, which honors children and infants. November the 2nd is Dia de los Muertos, which honors adults. I did not realize there were 2 days. I thought it was only a 1 day celebration. Typically, what happens in Latin America is people on these days will visit cemeteries and they will clean grave sites and stones. They will bring a picnic lunch or dinner and bring favorite foods of the deceased. They will spend time in the graveyard having a celebration and a meal. It is believed that by bringing the food to the gravestones, you can attract the attention of those departed, and they'll draw near and hear your prayers and your thanks and whatever it is that you might have to say. It is common for sugar skulls to be made at this time of year. It's a treat. I don't know how good they taste. I have never eaten one, but it's a very common thing, a skull made out of sugar. I tell you all of this by way of an example that our Samhain, one night of celebrating the dead, is repeated in many other cultures, either by 1 day or a number of days. The Catholics are basically the ones who set it to this calendar. I believe it is All Saints Day and All Souls Night, following November 1st and 2nd. So that's where the current scheduling comes from. But basically, the Latin American cultures have overlaid the Catholic timing with what they've been doing all along, back to Aztec times. This goes on all over the world. There are Asian celebrations that are similar. There are African celebrations that are similar, although the timing is not always similar. And that's one thing I wanted to say about Samhain in general. Even as a kid, Halloween and Yule were my favorite holidays, always have been. Part of the problem that I have as an adult is I believe in communicating with the ancestors throughout the year. You do not have to wait for one particular day or one particular time of year, although it may be easier at this time of year. Some of the luster, some of the joy of that celebration, Samhain, goes out when you feel you can do it at any time, that you are having as good a response and as good a result all year long. It takes a little of the oomph out of the holiday. And I have to say, I'm sad about that. I don't like it. I would like to find a way to put more of that excitement back into the holiday, but we don't have a spiritual community at present. Our pagan group here in town has fallen apart. We are not currently ritualing with anyone, and that definitely is more of a downer in and of itself. It makes the holidays a little less exciting. Nonetheless, we had a wild storm on Friday night the 30th, a driving rain and gale force winds, and it was quite crazy, and there were clearly a lot of spirits moving about outside, both positive and negative. Samhain itself felt very unsettled, that the world was nervous and the children were out in droves, maybe 3 or 4 times as many as we saw trick-or-treating last year, and much older kids too. Definitely a lot of children over the age of 12 out on this particular Samhain. And it felt very wild. It was not raining, but it was breezy, and it was warmer than usual. Energistically, it seemed very chaotic and very odd. We went and visited a cemetery on Saturday as it was turning towards evening, as it was just getting dark. And we left some gifts for various people in the cemetery. We had a very brief conversation while we were there about how we would celebrate our Samhain and what we thought was important. And this is one of those things I don't like to admit, but the sad truth is I was well and away asleep by 10 p.m. I get up so early for work on a regular basis that I have a very difficult time staying up at all anymore. It's very sad. I used to be a night person, but this is what happens, I guess. So if you did not get a chance to eat with your ancestors, if that's something you would like to do, you could set up something for them today on Day of the Dead or even tomorrow. Any day of the week will do, really. That is one thing I wanted to mention. When I became a pagan in 1989, I was not a big fan of ancestor veneration or worship, whatever you want to call it. I didn't know anyone who was. I did not discuss it with people, and I never heard it discussed. It became a part of my life in about 1995 and has only grown in importance since then. But the pagan community at large has not followed suit for a very long time. Oni and I have always tried to interest our friends in the idea and explain to them why we think it's so relevant and important. And finally, lo and behold, in the last 5 years, the discussion of an ancestor altar, honoring one's ancestors, how would one communicate with their ancestors, has become very popular. I'm hearing it on lots of different podcasts. I'm seeing it included in Paganism 101 books or more advanced books on paganism, how one would set up an altar or why one would choose to do that. We are very pleased by this. We appreciate it a great deal. It's just good to us to see other pagans understanding that there's a lot of value in this, that it is what our ancestors did, and you can personally grow from this kind of a relationship. So I wanted to mention that. And I will go on to the main topic, which today is spirits. I'm going to start with a couple of definitions. Merriam-Webster defines the word spirit as coming from the Latin word spiritus, which means literally breathe. I've also seen it translated as breathing. One of the definitions, as there are many under the word spirit, is, quote, a supernatural being or essence. This is the definition we are most concerned with. I also looked on dictionary.com and found the following definitions there. Conscious, incorporeal being, especially inhabiting a place, object, etc., or having a particular character, i.e., evil spirits, a fairy, sprite, elf, angel, or demon, a divine, inspiring, or animating being or influence, unquote. Right off the bat, we see that spirit can mean a lot of things. If it can refer to an elf, an angel, a demon, an essence, a part of the human self, it's a wide open topic for discussion. So, let me give you my sense of what a spirit is. I agree, in general, with the definitions given. A spirit does not have a body in the physical sense. It generally is not inhabiting this material plane full-time. It moves between this plane and one or several or many other planes. I make one distinction that the dictionary does not, and I don't think it's a necessary distinction. It is simply a practical and functional distinction. Because I work with spirits regularly and have for many years, but I am not very good at hearing ancestors, people who have died and crossed over to the land of the dead. I have a difficult time hearing them and seeing them. That is something Oni has a much greater capacity for, which is generally referred to as being a medium. So, I do not consider ancestors spirits under my basic working definition. Of course they qualify. They do not live here in this material realm. They live in another. And they come here to visit. They qualify in every physical and metaphysical sense. But for my own personal ease, I separate ancestor from spirit, although it's obvious they are a subcategory of spirit when one looks at it. So what are we talking about with spirits? What kinds of spirits? Who are they? What do they do? How do we interact with them? Should we be interacting with them? I have 13 little statements here that encompass my beliefs about spirits. Before I go on to this is my list. I do not pretend it is objective reality, either provable to you or anyone else, and nor am I concerned if it's provable. It is not my goal to get you to believe in any of this. I am sharing it with you as an attempt to give you some perspective on someone else's life, and spirits have been a part of my life since I was a child. I feel that I am incapable of removing this influence from my life, so I have tried to be practical about incorporating it in the most positive and productive way. So, here are my 13 statements. 1. Spirits are as real as I am. Their body is incorporeal, yes. They are not physically present in the way that I am. That is true. Yet, they affect this reality. They affect people. They have awareness. They are, in my world, real. And it's just that simple. 2. There is not one spirit world, but many. When referring to the spirit world, I do this and most other shamanic practitioners do it as well. We are talking about any spirit plane other than this material one we are currently all walking on. I don't mean, however, that there is only one plane of existence. There seem to be many, many planes. 3. You can learn to communicate. Everyone has some capacity to communicate with spirits, which is not to say everyone's capacity is equal, nor is it to say that everyone's desire will or should be equal. You may not want to communicate with spirits. No one should try to make you. I just think you should know that you could. 4. Spirits can be helpful, harmful, or neutral in their character towards you or humans in general. There is no hard and fast rule that good spirits wear white and bad spirits wear black, or that some spirits are not simply out for their own ends and are not harmful or helpful towards you, except on a situational basis. 5. They can lie or be wrong. They are not omniscient. Spirits may have access to information that we generally do not. They may see from a perspective that we generally do not, but it doesn't mean they are perfect, all-knowing, and it certainly doesn't mean that they are all truthful. 6. Spirits come in many levels of knowledge, understanding, and ability. Now, I'm not talking about hierarchy here, per se. I know people talk about that a lot. We'll get into that in a minute. But spirits are like people. Some are very strong, some are very smart, some are rather stupid, some are very wise. I think of them as people, a different kind of people. That helps me realize that they cover the whole gamut, the same as living human beings do. 7. Spirits have their own character or personality. One might say that an air elemental is always an air elemental, and that may be hard to argue. But a spirit is not always a spirit, a spirit, a spirit. They're not the same. You have to recognize them as individuals if you want to have any hope of getting to know them, let's say your spirit guides in particular. And yes, I believe everyone has spirit guides. And no, I do not believe it's absolutely imperative that you consciously communicate with them. They will communicate with you in other ways if you don't know how or don't desire to communicate with them consciously. But they are individual beings with personalities. 8, protection is important if you work with spirits. Period. No discussion, no debate. It just is. 9. Honoring, rewarding, or feeding spirits is important if you're going to work with them. If you're going to have a relationship with them, it cannot be one-sided, right? If they're people, real in a different way, but people nonetheless, they give something to you, you give something back. That is only fair and right. The form that honoring, rewarding, or feeding comes in will vary by the spirit you're working with and vary by your own values, what you think is open to negotiation and what is not. 10. You don't have to believe in spirits. If you're the kind of person who is a pagan, but yet very analytical, and because you've had no experience with spirits, you don't believe in them, there's no problem with that. It's not an issue. I am not the kind of person that feels that we all must believe in the same thing. However, not having had experience does not mean that if you want to, you can't. I am simply saying you don't have to believe in it. There is no need for it. If they're not part of the life that you're living and you don't want them to be, leave it alone. It's okay. Number 11. Spiritual hierarchies that you might see in a book or in other traditions are often wrong or only personally true for the people who wrote those hierarchies. Now, what does that mean? I don't know how many of you have studied New Age philosophy or different religious traditions where it is talked about there are many levels of spiritual existence. The multiple layers of hell, for instance, or in New Age philosophy, souls go through an ever-increasing ascending ladder of spiritual planes, meaning you go from the most material and non-spiritual up through many, many spiritual planes until you become pure light and pure spirit and all of that. I have not found any of that to be true. I have found all of that to have hints of truth. But that leads me into number 12, and this is important. In spirit realms, reality is subjective. Period. End of story. If 9 people take a spiritual journey to the same place, whether they go at the same time or at separate times, they will have a slightly to vastly different experience. They will see things differently. They might hear messages differently. Their interactions will feel different. This reality is definitely subjective. So if the entire experience of that reality is subjective, how can the hierarchy or system of spirit worlds be objective? Now, I'm making a point on logic and on ration, which is probably not the best way to talk about the spirit world. However, it's important that even in spirit work, something that strains credulity, if you don't have experience in it, you have to bring your brain. You have to bring your ration and your reason with you. There are, in fact, reasonable ways to approach unreasonable things, like the spirit world. Lastly, maybe all of this is in my head. Maybe I am some kind of a slightly crazy person, or I have a split personality. All of that may be true. I'm willing to accept it, and I don't have a problem with it, because this is working for me. The spirit world, my investigation of it, the work that I do with other spirits, has changed my life in a way that I cannot express to you, that I have no words to share. What I can tell you is that it has broadened my horizon, my understanding, my sense of self, and my place in the universe. It has comforted me when I suffered years after my mother's death when I was a child, not understanding how does all of this work. When you die, are you nothing at that point? Do you become worm food, as some people would say? That is one definite important example, but it's not the only thing. I have made a great deal of change in my character, my personality, and my confidence by working with spirits. It is something that guides the basic mechanics of my life. It is with God and my ancestors the sacred triad of how I live my life and how I make decisions, where it is that I want to go and what my goals are. Spirits, the ancestors, and my gods are it for me. I can think of no other more profound, more useful, more helpful thing that has ever come to me in my life than those three things. That's why it's so difficult to express it in simple language. Let me change topics for just a second and talk about spirit communication a little bit. I got an email from one of my listeners a few weeks ago about the use of a Ouija board, and I was listening to another pagan podcast, a back episode, where that question about Ouija boards was raised as well. The older term is spirit board or talking board. I am aware that a lot of people have had bad experiences or problems. I don't generally recommend their use. However, I don't recommend the use of any spirit communication device without some training and protection, discernment, meaning the ability to tell lies from the truth, and banishment. If you have not learned how to banish an unwanted influence, how to protect yourself from an unwanted influence, and how to develop your intuition a little bit so that you have, shall we call it, a lie meter, you can listen to a spirit and tell this guy, gal, thing, being, is full of it, and I should not be listening to what they say. If you have not developed those things, you probably ought not to be talking to anyone in the first place. I know that sounds really boring and like a downer, but I cannot in good conscience tell you that those things don't count, that you should just grab out whatever spirit communication device or method you may have come across and helter-skelter go headlong. I didn't do that, and I don't think anyone else should either. Also, there are simply more effective ways than a spirit board or talking board. Spirit board is a very easy way. It does work. That's why people keep buying them or making them. I would suggest, if it is your intent to communicate with spirits or learn about spirits, you begin with your own spirit guides. They are your friends. They have been with you, in most cases, since the day you were born. They know a lot about you. They know how to communicate with you. And they're willing to do so. I mean, they picked you, right? Or they've been assigned to you, or however that kind of stuff works. So they're already available to you. And they're probably not going to trick you or harm you or tell you anything that's going to cause you to be harmed. They're not going to possess you and run you around the block, right? So that's where I would begin if I was going to make a study of this. If I was going to try to deal with spirits, I would talk with my spirit guides. As a matter of fact, that is what I did. I talked to my spirit guides for a while exclusively, but pretty quickly after I began talking to my spirit guides, other spirit beings started showing up on a very regular basis, and I simply went with what was in front of me. But there's no reason for you to take a rushed approach to this. You've got time. A couple of quick thoughts. Most of you have heard of the bubble of white light protection spell. If you do not know any other protection, if this is your main thing or it's what you're aware of, use it for your spirit work. Imagine a white glowing bubble that surrounds you. Make sure it's going over your head, below your feet, behind your back. Imagine every square inch of that three-dimensional self. And if you need to banish a spirit and you have no idea what to do, you don't know what else should be done, talk to your spirit guides. I don't really know your names. I don't know who you are, in case you haven't met them. But this spirit is affecting me and I cannot get it away from me. Please come and deal with this. Pray to your gods, pray to your ancestors. Even when you don't know how to banish something, you do know how to ask for help. So ask your ancestors, ask your spirit guides, pray to your gods. At the very least, almost everyone listening to this show knows those two things. If you get stuck, if you get into a jam, if something happens that you do not know how to control, you always have that to fall back on. Just keep your head about you to the extent that you can. As I said in The Ghost Show, episode number 15, Oni and I have done a lot of ghost work. We've done a lot of spirit work over the years. One of the things that makes me so happy about our marriage is that she is a medium and I have strong spirit friends and spirit protection knowledge. So I can be there to back her up when she goes out into a graveyard or haunted location, and I can deal with anything that she might be unaware of or unable to deal with because she's engrossed in a conversation with a ghost or some other form of spirit. It's a good match. I strongly suggest if you're going to do spirit work, you don't do it alone. If you have another friend who's a pagan or magically inclined, work on this stuff together. Make it one of your jobs for a particular session to work on protection and making sure nothing goes wrong, and the other person's job to work on communication, and then switch the next time. Hopefully you will find that you both have talent for all aspects of the spirit work, but maybe one of you is better at communication than the other. You can create a spiritual team, you know, a partnership. Do most of your spirit work together, at least for 6 months, or perhaps the first year. If you don't have that option, and a lot of you won't, I understand that, you can do this by yourself. Make sure you pray before you start for protection. Make sure you've got your protections in order. Put on an incense or use a protective candle if that's something you're used to. When it comes time to say goodbye and you're done with the night, make sure you say, "All spirits, I need you to clear out of here. We are done for the night." And then pray to your spirit guides and your ancestors, "Please make sure these spirits leave. I need to go to bed or I need to do something else now. Clear this place out." Keep track of what's going on. Keep track of what you're doing. And you're going to be fine 90% of the time. Now, that sounds bad, right? 90% of the time. That means there's a whole 10% something will go wrong. Maybe I'm overestimating the degree to which things go wrong, but they sometimes do. It would be irresponsible for me to pretend that they don't. I have no interest in getting you guys into a tight spot or causing you unnecessary problems. I also have no interest in blowing sunshine up your you-know-what. This is real stuff. If you remember my principles, at least from my point of view, spirits are as real as I am. So encouraging you to have a relationship, to begin communication, I have to tell you, this is real. And the people, i.e. spirits, you will be dealing with are real. Take my 13 thoughts and keep them in mind. Because I think for those of you who desire a relationship with the spirit world, it can be fantastic. It has been tremendously important in my life and continues to be. But it is real, it can have problems, and you must be responsible for your own behavior and your own knowledge. I'm going to reiterate those 13 principles again really quickly. Spirits are real. There is not one spirit world, but many. You can learn to communicate. Spirits can be helpful or harmful. They can lie. They are not omniscient. They come in many levels of knowledge and experience. They have their own personality. Protection is important. Honor spirits you work with. You don't have to believe in any of this. Spiritual hierarchies are often wrong. In the spirit realm, reality is definitely subjective. And maybe this is all in my head, but it works for me. Keep those things in mind. Read about spiritualism, spirit work, spirit protection before you start monkeying about. Take it seriously. Talk to your spirit guides, and I think you will find this is really helpful and important. I hope you will find that. It has been important to me, and to Oni as well. Also to Evaldi and Golden Bird Rising. We have done a lot of spirit work with them, This has changed their lives. Pretty much all of our friends are as involved in spirit work as we are, or nearly as involved. We tend to gravitate to other people who do the same kinds of work and the same kinds of spiritual practices that we do. I know this topic may generate a lot of questions and a lot of feedback. I would love to hear them. You can leave a comment at podbean.com. You can send me a message at Facebook. You can send me an email. Tell me what you think. Is there other questions you have that you want answered? Did I not talk about something you thought I would or should? Where are you with spirits? Have you had a lot of experiences? I'd like to hear from all of you. I want to thank everybody for listening. I am really glad to be getting two episodes out so quickly, as Oni and I have been extraordinarily busy managing the very large changes that are starting in motion for us. It's just been difficult to be in the right frame of mind to do a good show. And I wanted to get back to real topical shows, not just how you doing, this is what's going on with us kind of stuff. I hope to have at least two more shows by the end of the year, maybe three, but I'm looking forward to it. I have other topics in mind. If you folks have topics, I'd love to hear those too. I appreciate everyone's support. I thank you for listening to the show. I thank you for telling all your friends. Obviously, you're telling your friends because the numbers continue to rise well beyond what I had expected. The last song that I'm going to play today is called Fear Not. It comes from an album called State of Grace 2. It is based on a Latin biblical text about an angel taking the soul of a dead person up to heaven. And the angel is comforting that soul. It's a classical music selection. It's definitely not what I'm normally playing. I think it is particularly beautiful. But what I like about it the most is that, in my view, religious music, if it isn't purely exciting or fun, should comfort or it should exalt a person. It should bring out some emotion in you and reinforce the theology of that religion, the beliefs of that religion. Hopefully you will not be sidetracked by the word heaven being used a couple times in that track. Just think of Summerland or Land of the Dead in its place. I hope you enjoy it. It is a fantastic piece of music. Thanks a lot, everybody, and may your ancestors and spirit guides bless you and keep you, and gods protect you.
Time has come to try.